I first heard of Baba in 1956 when Baba had met with an accident. And some of us schoolgirls were going on a picnic, and what we had heard was that part of his tongue had been chipped off. And I remember having made the remark that poor man, God gave him a tongue and all these years he didn't speak, and now he really won't be able to. And what the impression that we had been given of Baba was that he kept women around him and that he took away people's money and all that. And of course, believing in Babas and this and that was not the Zoroastrian way of life. Well, how I came to Baba actually is because of my sister Freni. And Freni got married in the Dada Chanji family in 1947. And of course, Nariman was very close to Baba, Nariman and Arnavaz, but the rest of the family weren't. And just because Nariman said that the family should come to Baba to meet him when Baba would be in Bombay, Freni says that they used to go with garlands in their hands and just put them on round Baba's neck and then sort of come away. And it was as late as 1959 or 60 that the rest of Nariman's family came to Baba, accepted Baba as God. And so Freni started writing to me and of course the rest of my family. And at first, of course, we didn't like it at all. My parents were very much upset that she had also sort of fallen into this trap. But I somehow felt that knowing her, she couldn't really do anything wrong. And so I asked her to write back to me and explain to me about Baba. And whatever she wrote appealed to me very much. Even the fact that she said that she accepted Baba as God, I did not sort of straight away reject it, though I did not feel it myself. And she sent me books. I think the first book I read was This in Humanity. Though as a book it didn't much appeal to me. Well, this correspondence went on between my sister and myself, and well, I said that everything is okay, but until and unless I personally feel it so, I couldn't accept Baba. Now, my father is very fond of traveling, and every year mostly we used to come to India, to Bombay. In those days, the passage was also very cheap and we could travel any amount of times we wanted to. So every year, my father would want to travel to different places. And so in 62 summer, we decided to travel the south. At that time, Freni was in Pune because Baba was there for the summer months. And as you know, they always used to come stay at the Mogos for all the 3 months.
So you came from
Pakistan? Yes, from Karachi. Mm-hmm. Now, since you say make it spicy, just a little detail in the sense that...
No, we were thinking that you were all the time in India.
No, uh-huh. Karachi.
Karachi, mm-hmm. Pakistan.
Well, the family unit and the love that is in the family is, I think, something quite different from the Western family unit. And especially the love that we all have for Freni is something quite different, you know. And Freni had to make a decision whether she should come to Bombay Airport to receive us meaning especially my parents, or she should stay back in Pune because Baba was there. And, well, that's a story in itself. And it was most fortunate that she, well, Baba decided for her to stay back. And I'm sure that my parents were very much hurt when she didn't come to Bombay Airport to receive them. Well, we stayed just one night in Bombay, and since we had to travel the south, we came to Pune. And we stayed, well, we means my parents, my third sister, and a friend of ours. And when we came to the Mobo Hotel, that's where we stayed, that was just one block away from Guru Prasad. It was just one building in between the Mobo Hotel and Guru Prasad. And Preni informed us that, well, she told me that it was so sad because Baba had stopped all darshans, and that she wondered whether I could see Baba or not. And I sort of heaved a sigh of relief and I said, well, that solves the problem, because mm-hmm. I was in such a turmoil. On the one hand, I wanted to meet him and see him for myself. And on the other hand, I was too terribly afraid to fall into a trap, sort of, you know. Well, from childhood, I was rather very religious minded. I used to pray daily, not just the kasti prayers, but take up the book and pray, you know. And so, I was quite relieved. I said, well, that takes care of itself. I don't have to meet him. Then a few days later, word came from Guru Prasad that Baba would be giving darshan and that everybody in Mobos could come. So then all that started, it started all over again. In a way I was glad, in a way I was afraid. And I remember that, I said, now since we have to meet him, I took out quite an ordinary dress, you know. And my sister said, what, you're going to wear this when you go to meet Baba? Put on your best. And I remember I said, what nonsense is this, having to go to him, and what does a dress matter and all that? Anyway, that morning, I was saying my prayers before having to go to Baba. And to the God I believed in then, I said, well, I leave it completely in your hands now. If you know this is the right way, you will lead me on to it. Otherwise, you yourself will not do so. And so we met, we went to Guru Prasad. Then we were all seated in the main hall. And I remember Baba coming in from the Min Mandi side. He was in his white sadra. And we sat there for quite some time, and then Baba called us for introduction. He asked Preni, and he says, bring them towards me. And I remember I was so frightened. So every time I met Baba, I know that there was this fear in me. I don't know why, but it was there. And my mother got up, my sister got up, and then naturally being the family, Preni wanted me. And I think she knew all along that I was very close to Baba because of what I had been writing and all that. It was just a matter of clicking, I suppose. And I said, no, let them go. And I remember there were so many to be introduced, but I went right last in the line, trying to evade it as much as possible. Well, anyway, my turn did come. And yes, here I must say also that I was, now I have changed quite a bit, but I was a very, very practical, unsentimental, unemotional person. I mean, tears never came easily to me. And as soon as Baba embraced me, I sort of started weeping. And it was, I felt so ashamed of myself. I felt as if I was making a scene in front of everyone, you know. And I just, I couldn't get away from him because I was too ashamed to sort of bring up my face. And at the same time, I kept on feeling that if I just go away from him, this won't happen to me. And I sort of got myself away from him and put my face on Preni's shoulder, because, as I said, I was too ashamed to show my face. And Preni said, of course, Erach was there to interpret it all. Baba gestured a few things. And Preni said that Baba, she loves you very much. And that got me so mad. I said, how dare she say that? Who says I love him? And this and that. And Baba called for me again. And he took my face in his palms and he gestured. He says, she is mine. Well, at that time, of course, that sentence had no value because I didn't even know what was going on. But today I can say that that and two other things that he said keep me going, because as you know, and I've always said that no matter how much Baba has given us, still our weaknesses are there, we falter. And I for one sure do, I still do. And it's this that keeps me going on, where I say that Baba says hold on to my Dhamman, but where I'm concerned, I feel that it's he that holds on more than I can ever hold on to him.
And what else did he say to you?
Wait patiently. Well, then there was a musical program, I think. And even during that, I just could not stop crying. I cried and I cried. And I just was getting a bit composed when Baba says, all right, now you all can go to the women mandali. And there, of course, Mehra was the first one. And as soon as she embraced me again, the same thing started. And I was so upset and I literally felt so disgusted. So I told my sister, of course, after meeting all the women mandali and spending a little time, I told Trini, I said, I don't want to stay here a moment more. I want to go home. And so I just dragged her, and by the side gate of Guru Prasad, we went home. Then, of course, that was the first time. Then we proceeded on our tour of the south. And we had quite a big company on that tour, because other friends from Karachi also joined us. And when they came to know that we had met Baba, sort of the curiosity was there. And so they started asking questions. And I remember that even though I said that I did not accept him as such, I found myself defending Baba when anything was said against him, you know. Well, that was about all. Then, before Baba left for Mehrazad, end of July, I think, I met him for the second time at Baba Jan's tree, the mango tree.
Bun garden,
that's right. But that was, I mean, just said, is as if it was saying goodbye to him. That's about all. Then after we toured, and we went back to Bombay, it so happens that my birthday came. And so the entire Dada Chanji family gave me all Baba presents. Trini had prepared, while she was in Pune, she prepared a big album of Baba photos. When I went back to Karachi, I landed with a small suitcase of Baba books and this album. And,
yes. They expected some chocolates.
No, in a way, I was quite happy. In fact, 10th of July also was, I don't know, but I did keep that silence. I said, why not try it? It was just a matter of, you know, sort of a feat to try out. I said, let me try it out. Then the East-West gathering was to take place in November.
Yeah.
And same year. Mm-hmm. And I did want to come back for it. So I told Frani, I said, you tell Daddy about it and see that he sends me. So she sort of told my father. But when the time came for the East-West and I said, Daddy, shouldn't we go now? I'd like to go. He refused. He says, don't be silly. It's just a matter of months. We've just returned. We can't go now. And I remember I felt rather sad about it. Even the music that would come on the radio would be all, you know, sort of breaking heart and this and that, all that, and sort of, it got me quite sad. And of course, with I must say that with Arnavaz's and Frani's guidance, all along where they said that you must never ask Baba for anything. That if you sincerely wish anything, it is He who always gives you an answer. And so once again, I remember I left it in His hands and I said, all right, if it is your will, I'll be there for the East-West. And sure enough, I don't know when it was, but in a day or two, my father came home from the office with three visa forms. And he says, come on, fill this up. I don't think I should send you alone. Mummy and I will also come. So sort of we came for the East-West gathering. And then, you know, sort of how we are, the personal ego, and said, I wish Baba would ask me things, and I wish sort of, but Preni and Arnavaz had always said that, remember, sort of, Baba may not sort of give you too much attention or anything of the sort. And so the East-West was, as they said, not much of personal attention or anything of the sort, but I was very happy that I was there. And
did you also get drenched?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
What did your parents say when they got drenched?
Nothing, really nothing. Oh, no, it didn't bother at all. Bother us at all. And then 1963, I had to appear for my final exams. And that was the time when Baba was in Pune. And of course, as Arnavaz and Preni had always given me the impression that Baba would call at any time, and that I should be ready. So I said, to hell with my exams, I'm going now for the summer months. But Preni wrote back to say that she didn't think that that was the right thing to do. Baba would not like it. It was not practical. And if I just skipped this 1 year, and if I got my degree, then I would get a good job. And with that earning, I could spend that money for coming and going to Baba whenever I wished, because I certainly couldn't ask my father to send me every time. And so it was a year that I missed, and I really missed it, because from what she wrote, well, she's a very vivid writer, and she used to write in great detail what they did during those months.
How which was writing?
Beautiful to me.
Not like Adi Guba.
No, no, certainly not.
They still have those letters.
And so it was almost feeling as if I was there, you know. So 63 I missed. And then after that I got my job as a teacher, which in itself is a story too. And 64 I was in Bombay waiting for Baba's call. But in 64 nobody came to Pune. I think we were told not even to come to Pune because Baba didn't want it then. Then 65 summer, the Shabbos. And that was the time for my annual exams. So the Shabbos was for, I think, 4 days.
First to fourth.
So I told, well, when I took up this job as a teacher, I told my principal, it's the school in which I have studied myself. And so, and I was very close to my principal. And I said, look, I will take up this job on the condition that any time I want leave, I will take it. Then don't bind me or tell me it's my responsibility or it's my duty or anything of the sort. So I said, I want to go now in 65. And she says, what about your exams? We've got the exams, you've got corrections to do. So I said, all right, look, I'll during the Shabbos days, it's just a matter of supervision. My papers are set, everything is ready, only a teacher has to supervise in my place. And after these 4 days, I'll come back, I'll correct my papers, submit my results, and then go back. So it suited her fine, it suited me fine. I said, okay. And so I did that. I didn't much care to go back, but I knew I had to, so I did. Then when I came back after 15 days, I managed to get everything over with in 15 days. Those days the visas were so easy too. Got another visa and came. And at that time, Baba made quite a fuss over me, you know, sort of every time I went into Guru Prasad, he would say, oh, Zareen has come, Zareen has come. And believe me, I was so frightened because hearing things from there, you know, I was always given to understand that when Baba made too much ado about someone, it was time for him to, you know, slip away. And I said, Baba, please do anything, but don't do that with me. Because he really made a fuss over me. He says, oh, Zareen has come back. Well, and during those months, the summer months, when we were there in small groups with Baba over the weekends, he asked me about my job, how old I was, what I thought of marriage. Mm-hmm. And, well, I just couldn't answer when he asked me. What about marriage? Have you thought about it? And I just couldn't answer. And Arnavaz was next to me, and Arnavaz says, Baba, she hasn't decided as yet. And so he just did that, which I take it to be sort of doesn't matter this way or the other. Well, now all along, I still had not accepted Baba as God. With me, it was quite different in the sense that my mind wanted to accept him. Because when I heard of things, when I read of things, as all along that I'd been with Baba, I felt that he could be nothing else but God. So my mind accepted it, but my heart would not. So I said, what do I feel? How do I feel that he is God? And even the mind that it is, with all thoughts coming in, even when I was in front of Baba, and I sort of felt that I was, my love for Baba was not worthy, and that what I felt was not really love, it was just that I told myself that I love him, that's all. And when we were at Mobo's one day, and we were just talking, Franny happened to mention that Baba had once told her that she loved Baba very much, that Franny's love for Baba was real. And so I thought to myself, I said, Baba, look, I don't think we'll ever know whether I love you really or not. And so as you told Franny, you must tell me whether my love for you is real or not. And so one of the weekends when we were with Baba and talk was going on, when he sort of turned a little and he gestured, and Franny interpreted for me. And Franny says, yes, Baba, you love her very much. So Baba says, she loves me very much. And so then sort of I accepted it, and I said, well, then no matter what I feel and no matter what happens and what I do, I do love him.
You are his and you love him.
Yes. And then the third is that every time that I met him in these months, 65, he repeatedly kept on. He insisted sort of every time he said, and not once, but in the session, quite a few times he would repeat and he would say, Mane ghuno yaad karjan. In English, what we would say, remember me too much. Keep on remembering me, as if. And after Baba dropped his body, and I was just thinking, and I said, Baba, you never gave me an order. I wish you'd left some order that I could carry out, you know. Even then, I didn't realize it. And then after, I don't know how long, it clicked, and I said, what a fool I am. I think it is the greatest order that he can. Is Baba going to say, now look here, I'm going to give you an order, do this or don't do that. I said, I think it's the greatest order that he's given to keep on remembering him all the time. And I didn't. I never could remember him sort of all the time. And after I realized this, I said, having come as an order, I must make an effort to do it. Well, that's about all I think.
I'm Shireen. Do you remember why I'm back to you? Are his daughter in the kingdom?
I've heard
of her. She gave a talk at the center. Only last year she came to the center for that act. And she was ending at the end of a very interesting talk. And she said, I asked Baba, in this case, she asked Baba to give her an order. To give her an order, because she was going back to England and she had to see if she had to. She thought Baba gave her something very interesting to keep. And I said, yes, and he said, the order is that you will be always happy. Mm-hmm. And she said she never realised then that was going to be one of the most difficult orders I was possibly give anybody. Nothing else, but I want you to always so it was a case of remembering him in order to be happy all the time. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. I always think it's very difficult to tell one's own story.
Very interesting.
Do you have ever met Jenny, have I? Does she live up in Toronto?
No, she's in London.
What are her challenges?
She has a I'm a trouble single. Then I have three parents.
But now, if that answer, the same person says, then we're going to start on a new life. In the new life, you started out with nothing. In fact, what's not the business to sell everything? Mm-hmm. Nobody could go with anything whatsoever. He said, live day to day and let God himself take care of it. So the two things do not agree. Now, it's very much, it's up in the north, up in the harbour up there, and it's right down in San Francisco, it's east, west, north, south. All of them have different views, and they all come and ask at the centre. Well, I mean, they ask everywhere. Now, what is you feel? Now, my answer is that I feel that it may be the new life, because whatever Baba himself went through, we have to go through. Therefore, the new life holds those, does it for everybody, whatever you're going into now. Well, now, is it the way to start off by getting security, if you can, if you have the money, and buying in stocks of food? Or is it to live just as you are now and to meet it face-to-face when it comes? I'd really rather like to know what you feel about.
Well, my feeling is that Baba wouldn't like us to hoard things or to just change the way of our life in anticipation of such a situation. On the contrary, one has to face and pass through such situations. How are we to show that in spite of our all preparations to face the situation, we are the survivors? We might be in the 3-4. So he never encouraged us to such a trend of thinking and living. And as for the new life, of course, the new life, Baba says, lives eternally, even if there is none to live. And this is not the way for the new life. One has to go through the new life, no doubt. But then, this will not lead us into leading a new life. Every individual will have to lead and live his own new life. And that new life can be in the same old setup also, live that way. Changing from the old habits, the trend, the values that one attaches to certain things, and beginning to think of, give new values, giving new values to things old, changing the course of one's life, the way one lived, not by just vacating the house or resigning from his job or not doing the business, but being in the midst of all. He just determines himself to lead a new life of love and resignation. So that's how I feel.
And then, of course, one thing comes to my mind, and I said, make no preparations. There was a time, Mom was just coming, so she would remember whether it was better, whether apparently there were large lots of sacks of wheat and other things would come in, and they would all be put on the bench. There were probably 12 sacks of food. And I think it was about the time that there was a fear of a Japanese invasion.
Oh, yes, that whole room was filled with sacks.
Mm-hmm. Then, of course, it wasn't Jews because nothing happened, and
but I will also
bench things happened, and it all went back again to Mehrabad.
I will remind you also one more thing. You remember that some of the women were also engaged in preparing bandages.
Bandages? We were preparing for the actual attack.
Yes.
The first line of defense.
Oh,
yeah. And we were
learning
and we dropped all these sort of
things. No, but to help you see, you all were preparing bandages and there were machines.
The
yeah, you remember that?
Action.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's all true. There is no doubt about all that. But that was just a scaffolding Baba was creating to have a reaction maybe in the battle.
Well, that's the only
you see, it's not that, that we should emulate him or go in for such things.
Yeah, that was really,
that was just a stage set for his great drama.
And also he let slip this thing once or twice. I have it in my diary. Yeah. I was delightful to refresh it. Mm-hmm. And Baba said, now, he would change route during our travels. And he said, now we go here. And then suddenly changed his mind and said, we come back. And, you know, it was a bit, it was startling and confusing, although we were getting used to it. And Baba said, whatever the countries were at war, now this one will back out, and that one will then have this other turn. He explained that pattern in the light of the war at the time.
Yeah.
Because usually we weren't given a glimpse of that, it's just, we were just the kitchen side.
The question came up, Moni, just now, because in the West, on all coasts, it's the question of whether they should prepare now for what may be very shortly to happen if war breaks out again. And there are some centres that come and say, well, they're sowing seeds and we're laying in cans of food and we're laying in this and we're laying in that, all in preparation for what's to come. Then I'm asked, is that what Baba would like? The only answer I can give is, well, in a new life, Baba did just the opposite. And you all started out with nothing at all.
Yeah, well, Baba always wants us to be practical. But that's doesn't mean we have to carry it so far, because if what's going to happen is what we think is going to happen, nothing of this sort is really going to be enough or sufficient to. So, unbalanced, I mean, to some limited extent, it's good to be practical, but to carry that as an issue that far, I myself personally don't feel it's not going to suffice.
Let's
it's
go.
It's going to be what it's going to be.
Big question in the West, it will come up.
Yes.
Kitty, this reminds me of what of somebody having asked Baba in his past advent as Mahamadi, as to how we should live in the world. So at the time Mahamad said that for the
why. Then we must ask this and we must prepare that. Baba's going to drop his form. So we would have to prepare. That is for us the greatest event that has happened. But we did not know, and everything has been taken care of. He has laid it down beforehand. And this is just how. But supposing we had known, we must prepare. We must do this. And nothing that we could have done would have met the occasion. But he has already provided before the need has come. He has answered before we have asked, because we see it just follows. That we are being witnesses and servants as always. We are not doing the thing, but just witnesses of what he's doing. We could not have prepared for this, and we cannot prepare for the other.
No.
But it's good to be practical. And each one's, you see, nothing is right or wrong from the sense. It depends on the need of that person's creator. But that is not carried too far.
What are you going to say?
No. At the time of Muhammad, somebody came and asked him, Kitty, as to how one should live in the world. Should we keep ourselves prepared for eventualities and exigencies? And what should we do? So Muhammad said to the persons concerned who were there, he says, man has to live in the world. Making a plan as if he were to live for 1,000 years. He should keep himself prepared with a plan and project as if he were to live for 1,000 years in the material world. And for the spiritual world, he should keep himself prepared with as if he were to live only the next moment. So simultaneously, you see, for the material world, one has to be very practical and keep himself prepared, you see, with a plan for as if he is going to live for 1,000 years. And for the spiritual world, you should be so ready that the next moment is his.
And that is some of the things you lie in about to be. Who can't put by because they haven't got the capital to do it. That's
don't know.
It's a question that's facing the West. I wanted to know what it is. Because I think the new life comes into it, and if you read about the new life, absolutely opposite.
But new life didn't begin by hoarding anything, on the contrary, by de-hoarding anything.
And I must say, the Yamas, the cultural center, they have very few possessions. I mean, that's the most extraordinary thing.
Nothing to lose.
No, they don't have possessions. They don't worry whether they inherit nothing either.
Yeah.
So different people in the Victorian age, which I was just coming out of. Very different aspect of that.
and 3/4 of the world, you see, what 3/4 of the world is to be destroyed? What sort of the world, you see? Is it the world of our thoughts, our emotions?
Yeah, mind, I often think, thought. Yeah. Baba once said in 1933 to the press, he said, I've come to bring a revolution of man's thinking. He said, that's what's caused the terrible condition in the world, and that's what I'm going to change. And it's the slowest of all revolutions, Baba said. And after 30 years, we see things changing in the church and everywhere, isn't it?
And where Baba really talked about destruction himself was Mananash.
Yes.
That was his own.
That was my impulse, wasn't it? That's destroyed automatically. Yes, that wasn't people. That was mine. That was mine. I never thought of that connection, but that's so absolutely
true.
And yet everybody's afraid of the forfeits. They're going to be their own children.
The main thing that I encountered being in the kind of, well, on the fringe or encountering like this kind of, you know, like we've got to collect and hoard and prepare and stuff, is the feeling that is present when people come together, whether it's at a Baba meeting or not, and relate to life in that way. And the feeling which I've been struck with has been just incredibly heavy and incredibly, it's like a fear, it's like a fear that's all over everyone and nobody has got enough courage to feel yet even. It's just, it's just a really, really heavy feeling.
Heavy burden.
Mm.
It would seem the same.
And it's like people are pulling on this burden.
That the world destruction would come because of this atomic explosion and all that. The atom will be responsible for it. So Baba says, no. I still remember I was the interpreter there at the board. He says, no, it won't come that way. It will be through natural catastrophe. It won't be through, as we visualize, you see, through atom bombs or hydrogen bombs or cobalt bombs unleashed, you see, on humanity like that. Because that's what I had heard. I had gathered. I was the one who was interpreting his board there. He says, no, it won't be through that. Nature will be responsible for it. It will be through nature. Natural causes will be there.
He also said, I mean, it's in the God man that Baba said, the world will not be totally destroyed, because he said, otherwise, why was I born?
He's speaking in his own language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he speaks in his own language, he said that about it. As I said, there was another talk also about what type of the world, 3/4 of the world will be destroyed. A world of feelings, a world of thoughts, or a physical world, and so forth. So it all depends. And just as Gill said now, it's such a thought that one would not want to give a thought to that thought.
He was talking on these lines. He said, I pity those who take my words lightly.
Yeah.
So that it's a sort of paradox, it's all about the lines.
I have a question that I don't mean to be.
As Meher Baba is continuing, his presence is continuing, they are right. Those who recognize him through the form of Jesus, they are also right. Those who continue to recognize his presence through Buddha, through Krishna, through Muhammad, or through Ram, they are all right. They are all perfectly right in their beliefs. And those who do not recognize his presence at all, they are also right. Because they don't recognize it. They don't recognize it. Therefore they say that they don't recognize it. That he's not present, that he is not.
Okay. Well, let's say that there's an event happening where there's two or more.
Was talking of just now, that when they're at the moment of self-forgetfulness, somebody can say, oh, I feel Baba this moment so strongly, he must be here. And in themselves, there must be a moment of self-forgetfulness.
If you merge in his divine love, you experience divine love. If you merge in his form, you see, you get the manifestation of his form. You become conscious of it, become aware of it. You merge in his omnipresence, you see, you get the manifestation of his presence, the experience of his presence, and so forth. All depends upon individual experience, upon the individual.
Wow. Yeah. Did you remember writing a letter to Susan Lutkendorf? of the Chicago group on this subject. I think more people have read a mimeographed copy of that letter than of any other letter I have in the same thought that you're saying. For 100 years, Baba's presence will be as strong. And then
he has told us that. And that 102, it is between 100 and 200 years, he had said, to be very clear. And it all depended upon his next advent. If the next advent were to take place after 700 years, in between that period, then it will be about between 100 and 200. If it is after 1400 years, then the authoric pressure or the authoric influence will continue for nearly 200 years. It depends upon that. Then you see from the skies and from the heavens to come on the earth, to be amongst us, to guide us, to tell us or anything of the sort. And do what? Only a cross-section of humanity? He is for all humanity. So there must be something, the effect of it should spread throughout humanity. But, well, visibly it is only for the few. And so he serves that purpose, you see, by coming as a reminder to us of his being and form. It is easy for forms to recognize another form.
You call that a best dream?
Problems? Should we call it problems? No. Problems. I don't think that Baba is such a difficulty to them as their own personal problems. To solve them in the light of Baba. What Baba had to say on this over this particular problem.
Well, as long as we continue, as long as we continue to be personal, we have personal problems. But if, no sooner we sell ourselves to Baba, no personal problems are left. The daring is needed to sell ourselves to him, you see. Allow the heart to have the upper hand over your mind. Then you'll hear. Then you get the answer. No sooner the heart is allowed, the pressure over the heart is released, you see. That means when the mind is calm, quiet, and that for that naturally the impressions must be thoroughly washed. And then you get the direct answers. You do get them. They are revealed to you. Not only that, but apart from just hearing words, you see, with these gross ears, you hear words, mind you. Because you are not satisfied if something is prompted within you, you know. You'd like to have some more sign. Because you are totally the form, the gross, you see. Your consciousness is so knit with the gross. It's the gross consciousness. So gross consciousness doesn't feel satisfied with anything that is most sublime, you see, or superfine. So it needs proof. It doesn't feel satisfied. So then there it is. You'll hear all over thundering.
Alright.
First you start with
the motorcycle accident.
The accident story. Yes, that's a funny story.
Yeah, well, it's really beautiful.
Well, I was on my way on the back of the motorcycle.
I means who?
Eye Candy was on my way. Just forget
getting
about
the full diamond address.
I was on my way to David's Delicatessen to have cheese blitzes and sour cream, which I had a tremendous desire for, and I was thinking very much about it.
Which place was that?
This was in San Francisco. And I was on my way there to have this delicious eat, and a car got in the way. And we both went flying, my husband and I went flying over 50 feet to the other side of the street. And he dropped his body there, and I became unconscious for two weeks. And when I woke up out of my unconscious state, the first thing I thought of was this food again, which I wanted. So this was the thought that was in my mind, was this food. Can you imagine? And then I thought to myself, oh God, this is really bad. Here you were, near death, and what are you thinking about? Cheese blintzes and sour cream. So this was very bad. I thought, you're not a very good Baba lover, Candy. Then later, because Baba says to be remembering his name, to be thinking of him, especially at the moment of times like that. So I was very disappointed in myself until I met somebody who tried to visit me in the hospital while I was unconscious. And they said, Candy, you know, I said, why didn't you visit me in the hospital? They said, well, I tried to visit you in the hospital, but when I came, you were in a coma, and the nurse said to me, I don't think it's a very good idea if you visit her, because because she's in a coma, she's unconscious, and it won't do very much good. But if you could bring this Baba in, she keeps saying Baba, Baba, Baba. If you could bring him in, it might help.
Isn't that funny?
So, in fact, the thing which Mansari says always, she always points to me and she says, living proof that even...